Today, Zen and the art of financial advice. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Today, I'm joined by Tim Fuller, Head of Advice at Nucleus Wealth. Hi, Tim.
G'day, Martin. Great to be back on again.
Well, thanks very much for spending some time with us. And look, I want to explore with you this whole concept of financial advice, because I get a lot of people really confused about this, right? So on one hand, they feel they need advice and they sort of say, well, you know, I'm sure I could get some really good ideas. But on the other hand, they've also heard lots of stories of bad advice, where advisors effectively take people into different product sets that actually benefit the advisor rather than the investor. And of course, we've got now a whole bunch of different modes of advice compared with what we had. So I'd like to unpack that a bit if I could.
Absolutely. Yeah, sure. Ask away.
Okay. So in the old traditional mode of advice, it tended to be a long conversation covering everything from what your risks are, where do you want to invest, you know, how long do you want to invest for, have you got a will, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And at the end of it, out the sausage machine comes a, well, you should probably do this then, or you should do that then. And in some cases, then advisors would perhaps even transact and support. Very expensive, very long-winded, very complicated. And the question I get is, how effective do you think that was?
Well, look, yeah, it's a great question. And it certainly brings into frame the ways of the old and, I guess, you know, the exciting sort of opportunities that we're faced with, you know, going forward, and the way that advice is certainly evolving. Mm. Look, a huge part of the old way, and we've got to be careful here, we're generalising, because there has been, you know, good quality advisors throughout time, but one of the big problems in the past was the proliferation of product and how that was then influencing advice. A big part of that was then obviously going to an advisor. You need to work out whose barrow they were pushing, and that's what made it very hard, and that's what the opaqueness of exactly who was getting paid and how they were getting paid is, of course, where a lot of these unfortunate stories have come from.
So in the old days, a lot of those advisors would effectively have been paid by the fees off the products they sold rather than an overt commercial arrangement, right?
Well, that's right. Absolutely, Martin. And look, the days of commissions, in particular investment commissions, which sort of ended around 2012 with the future of financial advice reforms, was really, a turning point in the way that an advisor could view a client situation and then recommend products. If the advisor was getting paid a big commission, that would influence the advice. And by turning that off and closing that down, it was a step in the right direction. It wasn't, you know, a complete shift change, but it certainly did move the process of advice. And also, I guess, the reasoning for advisors wanting to enter into the advice industry, which is a paramount thing. And certainly in my experience, and I guess I'm a post 2012 advisor coming into the industry after these sort of commissions were removed, there needed to be a big drive to obviously benefit the client and build a relationship and make this a long-term and enduring relationship in order for it to work both for obviously the client but and also for the advisor in maintaining that client relationship.
Right. And so one of the things that really has come to the fore is this idea of best interest, right? So effectively, advisors now are clearly obligated to work for and in the interests of the client, whereas previously in the old days that really wasn't very true.
Well, yeah, I guess you could say there's certainly been some egregious cases of really poor advice that was driven by these high commissions and products that were basically, you know, creating such an impetus to be recommended by people that were willing to do so, that it, you know, they created the various scandals and really problematic periods, particularly through the GFC, which is an illuminating point, I think, for poor product and poor advice and exactly what can happen when markets turn and the amount of damage it can do to clients, you know, financial futures. Absolutely, and wholeheartedly agree with the changes for that reason. reason. Going forward from there, though, I guess what needs to happen now is people need to perhaps look at giving advice a go again. And look, I've spoken to many people throughout our journey at Nucleus Wealth who have stopped, you know, even considering advice because of some of the poor practices that they saw or experienced themselves through things like the GFC and those sort of years after that. And it really took them, you know, 5-10 years to start thinking about speaking to somebody who had the word financial advisor or financial planner or even just reaching out into that part of the industry again, which is quite sad. I'm doing everything I can to try and reverse that and bring the message back out there again that the industry is changing and there are many different opportunities to seek advice, not necessarily the full advice, as you mentioned at the start there, the big long drawn-out process. It's very involved. Often very expensive as well, and particularly now where compliance levels, of course, with higher levels of regulation means that advice is now more expensive than ever to produce, which obviously then makes it more expensive to the client and the end user. And so what's happening now is the industry is effectively evolving to find efficiencies and also to harness some of the new emerging technologies that have come out there that give people the opportunity to seek smaller amounts of advice for smaller issues that they may be, you know, immediately needing help with, without having to then broach the entire subject of their whole financial future and, you know, and all the different facets of advice. Still relevant when it's required, but little baby steps, I think, into seeking advice and getting, you know, the right advice at the right time, I think is the future going forward.
And it's worth, I think, breaking it down, right? Because you say, absolutely right, there is still a place for the full Monty, as it were, which is saying, well, what are you trying to achieve? You know, what is your risk profile, et cetera, right? There's a bunch of big questions there. And some of those questions are actually quite hard to answer. But then there's a step beyond that, because once you've got a sense of where you're heading and what you're trying to achieve, the next step is then what's the most effective mechanisms and what are the right selections to make? And so that's a different part of the conversation. And then there is a structural question, because, of course, the old philosophy is, well, you probably want some things that are actually less risky than others. And some will be long term, some will be short term. So there is, portfolio construction and optimization. And then there is the execution and delivery element, right? So that's the sort of the value chain that I see across the advice. And I think quite often people get confused about which part of the puzzle they're actually in the middle of.
Look, 100%. And look, speaking around the new technology and obviously digital advice, and that's something that we've used very successfully at Nucleus Wealth, we're very mindful of the fact that it really only serves to do it one small component very well. And then you've got to have the ability to break out of the online piece if it's not suitable and we need to look at it or address it, you know, in a human format, you know. So by doing that, what you're doing is you're ticking a box, perhaps, for people that do need exactly what, you know, say a digital advice service can do. And investments is just one. And as I guess technology grows, and also people's acceptance to use technology, which is, I guess, the other side of the coin in getting, you know, the right solution at the right time and at the right price. One of the beauties of digital advice is it can be delivered cheaply and quickly. But it doesn't, in my eyes, it will never completely overtake, you know, the sit down human face to face element for much broader areas. And depending on the client's needs, and this is always coming back to the client's needs, you need to work out what's the most appropriate course of action. One of the good things about the digital advice piece is you can go in, have a bit of a look. If it doesn't work, then you know that you can be effectively transferred out into, you know, into a human, you know, referral or talking to somebody to flesh out exactly what those needs are. But you kind of need to know those needs first. And so part of the process is saying, okay, well, here's what digital advice can do, but here's what it can't do. And if any of these areas you still feel need to be covered off, well, then what that's doing is it's flagging to somebody that they've then got an opportunity to speak, you know, to a face-to-face advisor and have those areas covered and effectively build in those broader concerns.
Right. And one of the things I wanted to explore was the relationship between financial advice and investment advice. Because what I mean is, if I'm a householder or a consumer, I may well have a mortgage, I may well have other financial needs as well. And so just looking at the investment piece in isolation from the overall financial footprint of that particular householder might actually lead you up the garden path.
Look, it can and it can't. I guess the idea is you've got to have a bit of an idea. Or most people have when they go to see an advisor, they normally have one goal in place. So it might be they're saving for a home. They might be worried about whether or not they're going to have a comfortable retirement. I guess using the investment sort of piece. Speaking to an advisor can then flesh out other areas as well, and quite often they can dovetail in. And quite an easy one is looking at whether or not you may have a mortgage and you're wanting to pay it down. Now there's a piece there in looking at whether or not the mortgage you've got currently is the right one for you at the right price, but also then, okay, I've got some excess money. Do I put it into superannuation and start working on a comfortable retirement, or do I put it into my mortgage and start working on the other goal, which is to, for most people, sit there and paying off their home. Those are the sort of areas that digital advice can look to cover, and it's sort of something that is being built out, I guess, in the Australian industry and what's available out here. But for the moment, it's probably best left to a human advisor or a human relationship. The other component of course, is the problem that you've got today may be solved, which is great, but life is life and things change. Yeah. And so the relationship can be important as well from that regard, because the plans you set in today, in a couple of years' time, could be a change of job, change of home. There's all sorts of variables in that sort of, in everybody's life. That obviously then the plans need to be updated on a reasonably ongoing basis. Just on that though, I guess, and this is sort of looking in the past, more often than not, whether you have a typical face-to-face relationship, you can always call them and set up times. But you'll often just have maybe it's a half yearly or an annual meeting. You've got to go into the city, you've got to make some time in the office and book out a day and do all the rest of it. An interesting little piece, I guess, of 2020, and it's been an interesting year, I guess, in many regards, is the industry itself, the financial advice industry, of course, have had to move to exactly what we're doing now, the Zoom experience. Of course, what that's done for advice, though, is it's meant that you can have much shorter, more powerful, punchier meetings, I guess, for shorter term issues without having to sort of save them all up for your annual meeting with your advisor, in which case, anything can happen. And I actually see that as a real positive for where the advice industry is going. It means that, both on the client side, there's a huge efficiency in saving time and being able to just get in front of an advisor quickly. At the same time, from an advisor's point of view, you can see a vast number more clients sitting in your office or sitting at home or wherever you are and getting the job done without that time of having to sort of commute around and set up times and book meeting rooms and all the rest of it. So look, I think that's a real positive going forward, and I can see that really being a leg up into people getting good quality advice in a much more efficient and timely manner going forward from here. So
I think that's very good, and of course the digital connectivity really allows people to take more control for some things. One of the things I like about the Nucleus Wealth solution set is that there is actually a range of different options from an advice perspective which are accessible via Nucleus Wealth, which of course is why we've got this tie-up with the Walk the World Fund and Walk the World Super, because my sense was that people quite often are a bit lost as to which way to go, and so there's an entry point which is relatively simple and straightforward and accessible that can lead to a range of different permutations based on need, I guess. And the other point, of course, as you to underscore that, is this isn't a set and forget thing, is it? You can't basically say, right, my investment strategy for the next 15 years is X, and then forget about it, right? There's got to be a little bit of pruning and tweaking and changing as things change. Personal circumstances change, the markets change, and therefore there's a little bit of a requirement to keep it refreshed and keep it up to date.
Oh, look, absolutely. You've nailed it, Martin. A big part of what we've put together is it gives people an obligation-free and also pressure-free environment, normally your own home. You're sitting down after work, you can sit down with your spouse, you can go through it in your own time, log out, log back in again, it's all saved. And it really gives people an opportunity to just have a look. You get the at the review stage, you get the portfolio, you get the recommendations, all the documentation provided instantly and free. And look, for mine, you know, for a lot of people out there, they're really just trying to do exactly that. You're wanting to seek advice. You've got a problem that you want to solve. And more often than not, having more than one solution is beneficial in front of you. So you can make a choice. You can reason and settle on something, and also, you know, have some confidence in your decision. And that's sort of something, I guess, where digital advice can do that really easily and provide a number of solutions in the frame. You can go to various providers. You can have a look at different scenarios within the same, and we offer that quite easily. It's a dynamic system. But at the end of the day, you haven't got a guy hovering on the other side of the desk with a pen saying, okay, you know, you're going to sign. You can book a phone call. You can have a chat to myself and the team as well, which is always great. And I think, look, I speak to, you know, most, if not all, of our investors at some point. It's less about the advice. It's more about just having a human touch and just getting your final questions answered. We provide everything on the website, but a lot of people just need to work through it at their own time and have the questions answered in the right order. And that's what we're here for.
And I like the low pressure mode of engagement, right? So people can basically take the initiative and go as fast or as slow as they want. The other point, though, I just want to sort of end on is the concept of nucleus wealth, right, is something also very important, because what it basically says is there is a core investment element which effectively should be relatively contained and low risk and managed, but you've still got the option of experimentation around the edge, right? But this is about the core of your investment strategy, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. And look, you've nailed it once again. The nucleus, as the name I guess denotes, is really about saying we want to sit in the middle of a typical client's portfolio. Now, a lot of our clients give us everything they've got because they just want it looked after, in a sensible fashion with plenty of transparency. But a lot of other people out there have got other interests as well, you know. And so what they can say is, well, look, I'll put the bulk of it perhaps with Nucleus Wealth. We have, you know, quite a vanilla style of investing that's very transparent. So cash, federal government bonds and large cap equities, and which is, you know, for a lot of people, quite boring. And so we say, well, look, let us do the boring stuff, right? And you can have a dabble in things like commodities or precious metals or cryptocurrencies and all those sort of things. And just know that that's just one part of your portfolio that you'll probably enjoy running, that you can look after yourself and leave the rest to us and know that you can always see exactly what you got and what your exposures are as well. Yeah.
And I think that's quite important, because I sometimes say to people, you know, investing is 80-90% boring, right? what you shouldn't be doing is putting the whole of your portfolio into sort of crypto and saying, well, you know, if that goes well, I'll be fine, because it might not, right? Mm. So there is a sort of fit for purpose side as well. But nevertheless, having a little bit of exploration around the edge, be it gold miners or whatever it is quite legitimate in terms of an overall strategy. But you do need a strategy.
Exactly right. Yeah, and as you say, you know, the ability to focus on what you like doing means that you often then disregard diversification, which is one of the crucial components of putting together a long-term portfolio, or even a short-term, just a quality portfolio. And so by saying, okay, well, I realise the fact that, you know, large cap equities and tactical asset allocation, making sure that I'm out of problematic markets in times like we've seen in 2020. Is important, but I don't want to sit there and look after that part of it all day, because I like reading, you know, about gold miners, and I think there's some good opportunity there. And so by having that piece where you can say, okay, well, I can hive off some money, I can keep it with these guys, I know exactly what's going on over there, I've set it up well and I'm comfortable with it, means that you can then get up every morning and just run one small part of the portfolio and not turn into a day-to-day personal fund manager.
Absolutely. And, the reason we pick the title Zen and the Art, because this is more than just mechanics, right? There is actually a whole philosophy here, which is important that people understand it, because actually the philosophy will guide you to a much better outcome rather than just reacting tactically to what's going on.
Look, absolutely. And this is a big part of getting external help, I think, in any facet of human life. You know, if you've got a very expensive car, you're generally not working on it yourself, because you know that if it goes wrong, it starts getting expensive very quickly. Your financial future for mine is exactly the same, and that's why you get professional help in there. You've got to find the right help that's giving you good advice, telling you what you're doing, and it's coming at the right price, of course, and that's where it can be difficult. But by the same token, by recognizing the fact that you need advice and you're happy to take it, then you're really just taking a small step into what's, you know, the right direction for mine as well. So look, there's plenty of people out there. There's plenty of advisors out there as well. And, you know, a big part of realizing that you need advice is then looking forward and going, okay, where am I going to get it from and who do I trust? And, you know, for mine, I guess for ourselves as well, we've put together a very transparent model. We're very open about what we do and we talk about it on your show, of course, and on our own podcast every week as well. So we like to think we're making all the right noises and heading in the right direction.
Well, thank you very much, Tim. I appreciate your time today. We'll put some links and things below as normal. And I think we might come back and have a more detailed conversation about the mechanics of advice, perhaps in a separate show. But thanks for your time today.
Wonderful. Great to be back on again. Good on you, Martin.
Thanks. Bye-bye.